What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you could find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
That's the difference between preaching about Christ, where you basically just cut them apart and use them however you see fit, versus preaching Christ.
And you take that most basic structural social unit and bust it apart. It's like breaking the atom. All this destructive energy comes out from breaking apart something that was really belonged together.
When I got to the part about believing Jesus' words, that it is his body and blood, and this is a man that came from a Lutheran congregation, he said, well, I have problems with that.
Everybody must say positive things and think positive thoughts to be blessed by God. It creates a terrible tyranny where you're stuck in a prison with a big smiley face on it.
In the next hour of Issues Etc., we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four soundbites that we have to play for you from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We play them, you listen, and then you give us a call, you send us an email, you send us a tweet, or you go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad to the listener with the best vote during Issues Etc. soundbite of the week at about 50 minutes on this Friday afternoon, June the 20th. Joining us for our series on Christ in the Old Testament, we're just coming off a conversation on Christian persecution. Here is an example of persecution. The prophet Jeremiah, often even called the weeping prophet, because much of his prophetic ministry was carried out under persecution. One might even say his ministry was to be persecuted. Is that in itself a connection to Christ in the Old Testament? Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Review our memories, because I know we've talked about this before, but it never hurts to do a little review. How we see Christ in the Old Testament prophets, in their lives, their ministries, their words.
Well, specifically, we want to look at the office of a prophet, the office of a priest, the office of a king, and all of these point to Christ, who is the true prophet, the true priest, and the true king. And throughout scriptures, we have the understanding that the priests are instituted by God, that these sons of Aaron are to teach the word of God. They are given the Torah, and they are to instruct. I mean, this is what Malachi says, that a priest, it's from his lips that they should guard the knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. I mean, that's the role of the priest. And then, in fact, the king himself is supposed to have a copy of the written word that is approved by the Levitical priest, as Deuteronomy chapter 17 says, so that he can follow and he can make sure and he can meditate upon this word day and night and make sure that the priests are preaching this word, and that the king himself is overseeing that this is taught in his kingdom. But throughout the scripture, we see that these priests fail and these kings fail. And so what happens is the Lord will send prophets, and these prophets will come to confront the false teaching of the priest and the lack of the kings to do their duty, to actually make sure that this written word is upheld in their kingdom. And so throughout, we understand this sending of the prophets is pointing towards the sending of the Christ, who is the true prophet. And, of course, he's the true priest and the true king. And like we have in Hebrews, in the whole epistle to the Hebrews, this understanding that he is the true high priest, that he's the one who had to be made like us in every respect so that he can become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, for the sake of making a propitiation for the sins of the people. And so whenever we see the priest, we see Christ. When we see the kings, we see Christ. In fact, we see this in Jeremiah, which in chapter 23, where Jeremiah will point to the coming one, the anointed one, the son of David. So we have those wonderful words of messianic promise in 23 that the Lord says, I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name that you're to know him by. He is Yahweh, our righteousness. So when we're looking at all of this, the prophets, the priests, and the kings, we're all looking towards the coming Christ, that Christ is the one who will come in and be the true holder of all of these offices. But especially in the book of Jeremiah, what we see with that chapter 23 is this emphasis that he will be both truly God, he has the divine name, and truly man. He will be born of the house of David. And this is the true king that we wait for.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. When we come back, we'll continue with him on our series, Christ in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah persecuted. He's persecuted, and that's part of his ministry, and that's where we'll begin when we come back. The context for Jeremiah's persecution, what does he have to say to God? He begins with some very interesting words addressed to God. He says, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed, and I have become a laughingstock all day. Everyone mocks me." When we come back, more with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. A little later, in Hour 2 of Issues Etc., live this Friday afternoon, June the 20th, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can give us a call on Jeremiah's persecution as well for about the next 40 minutes of the program. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., Hour 2 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, and Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is next.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series with him every week. We continue today on this Friday afternoon, June the 20th. Christ in the Old Testament. Today we're in Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah is persecuted. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. So who is this Jeremiah? And he's often called the weeping prophet, but what are the circumstances in which we find him in chapter 20 of his prophecy, wherein he is persecuted, not only persecuted, but at least initially, Pastor Ketchelmeyer, it sounds like he's blaming God for it.
Yeah, well, if you go back to chapter 19, you have this famous passage where Jeremiah goes to the potter's house, and he buys this earthenware, this vessel, this flask, and he takes this to the temple, and in front of everybody publicly, he takes that flask and throws it down and just busts it in front of everybody. It breaks into pieces, and he basically says, "This is what will happen to the city of Jerusalem." And he speaks for God, and Yahweh speaks through his mouth, saying, "Behold, I'm bringing such disaster upon this place that the ears of everyone who hear it will tingle." And the reason why is because they have forsaken Yahweh. And so God says, "I'll make the plans of Judah and Jerusalem void." And so this is what Jeremiah is proclaiming at the temple. And he says, these people have a stiff neck. They refuse to hear my words. And he proclaims that this is what's going to happen to Jerusalem at the Holy Temple. Well, chapter 20 then opens up with a priest by the name of Pashur. And when he hears this prophesying, he takes Jeremiah and sees this as blasphemy. How dare you speak against the promises of Yahweh at this temple and in this city where he promised that his name would dwell? And so Pashur has him beaten, and then he puts him in the stocks to try to teach him a lesson, to try to shut him up. You know, shut him down, shut him up, and get him out of the city, and we can go about our business as usual. But this is the whole situation that's taking place. Yahweh has called him from the womb, and Yahweh has brought him to Jerusalem to speak against Jerusalem, and he's going to tell Pashur that your name is no longer Pashur, but your name is now terror all around, because you have stood against Yahweh, and Yahweh will take you out of the way, as he will take away the king and all the leaders and all the people that have forsaken him. So this is a message that Jeremiah is bringing to Jerusalem, and it's not a message that is well received. He is a persecuted prophet, a suffering prophet. And of course, all of this points to Jesus, who comes to Jerusalem, the very Word of God incarnate. And Jesus speaks out against Jerusalem just like Jeremiah. So we see this typology here, that as this prophet goes and says Jerusalem will be destroyed, so does Jesus. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent against it. And behold, O Jerusalem, your house is now forsaken. And so these are the words that the prophet Jeremiah speaks out against Jerusalem, and then we see this most clearly in Jesus when he comes to speak out against Jerusalem. But see, when he does this, this is not an easy message. This is, see, Jeremiah goes there, and people do not receive it. And so this is where you see that Jeremiah is no cardboard saint, but he petitions Yahweh. He speaks out to Yahweh and says, "Oh Yahweh, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me." And so you see this true human nature of Jeremiah, that he goes in and he's having a difficult time. These stiff-necked people will not listen. They close their ears and they close their fists to beat him. And so Jeremiah is struggling with this. Again, not a cardboard plastic saint, but a real human being just like you, flesh and blood. Because you go back to the beginning of Jeremiah, and that whole call is Yahweh says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to be prophet to the nations." And so you have this kind of this interesting at his call that he's to be a prophet to the nations and that he's going to be sent to these nations. And see, you also have in chapter 1, "I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Well, all of this sounds okay, fine. This is what I am. I'm now a prophet over nations to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and overthrow. But now all of a sudden, Jeremiah is being sent to Jerusalem, to his own people, and his own people will not listen. So you see this whole frustration of the prophet, that he's dealing with the reality that at first he was supposed to be this prophet to the nations, but now he's a prophet, and the nation that he's sent to is his own nation, and his own people will be destroyed, and they will be overthrown, and they will be plucked up, and they will be broken down. So this is this whole cry to Yahweh saying, "You have deceived me, and I was deceived."
So I guess I got to ask at this point, and you say he's no plaster saint, so he's sincere in these words. It almost sounds like part of his calling, he regrets having answered the call of God at this point in his life. I mean, that's a very realistic way of looking at the kind of life of faith that we live to, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same thing that Luther would say. You know, Luther later on in his ministry would say, if I only knew all the trouble that would come upon us with this whole Reformation, he's so thankful that he didn't know it, because if he would have known it, he might have shuffled to the side and let God pass him by and go to somebody else. And so, yeah, you have this, the prophet saying, well, wait a second, you know, this is much harder than I thought. I thought this was easy. Just go send me to the pagans, and I'll tell the pagans that they're sinful. I mean, that's an easy task. I can do that. But then he goes to his own people, and they will not listen. And so you're struggling with this and this reality and almost this regret, like, why did I venture into this? I mean, and so you see the reality that even in our day, you'll have a man in the office of holy ministry as a successor to the apostles. He'll be sent to God's people, and he'll preach God's word. But then yet God's own people don't want to hear the word. And so he might fall into the same situation of Jeremiah and say, oh, this is so difficult, Lord. You know, this is so challenging. And so he's being honest with God that he is weak, he is frail, just like any human being. And so we'll see this whole transition in this whole entire petition to God, that Jeremiah moves from kind of this doubt, you know, you've deceived me, Yahweh, to faith, where he eventually says, but Yahweh is with me. So he trusts that promise. Because in his call, Yahweh not only said that I'm going to consecrate you and appoint you to be prophet of the nations, but he also said, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. So you'll see in this prayer, this outcry of his heart that he lays bare to God, you'll see despair, where he'll tell God, he'll say, I hear many whispering. People are saying terror is on every side of me. They're all over, and they're watching for me to fall. But then you'll see the transition into hope, that he cries out, and he says, but my persecutors will stumble, and they will not overcome me. Why? Because Yahweh is with me. And so you'll see this transition where he petitions Yahweh and says, oh, Yahweh, Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your vengeance, for I have committed my cause to you. And so he petitions Yahweh, and then he ends with this rejoicing. So it goes from petition to praise. So then he can say, sing to Yahweh, praise Yahweh, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. And this is what we see throughout the scripture, too, that the just shall live by faith, not by experience, but trusting in these promises of God, that we know that God promises to be with us, and we cling to that promise in the midst of all this persecution and affliction and all of these hardships. But we focus on Yahweh so that we can, in faith, constantly still say, but you are with me.
Now, that transition for Jeremiah has not yet come in the 14th verse, in fact, and it's very interesting. You find a remarkable connection to Christ in words that sound very unchristlike. Cursed be the day on which I was born. This is verse 14. The day which my mother bore me, let it not be blessed. Where do we find Christ in these words?
Well, again, when we look at a prophet, we know a prophet is sent by God to his people. And this always shows us this mystery of the incarnation, that the Yahweh will send the Son, and the Son of Yahweh will come, and he will take upon flesh. He will assume the human nature. And so whereas Jeremiah is questioning, why have I been born? Why did I ever come out of the womb? I should have just stayed in there, and it would have been a grave for me, and then my mother just would have been perpetually pregnant, and I would have never had to suffer and never have to share in this shame and sorrow and toil. And so you see this interesting thing where he's reflecting on this about the womb. You know, cursed be the day which I was born. Well, when Jesus is led to the crucifixion, and you have the daughters of Jerusalem weeping for him because he's rejected by Jerusalem, and he speaks out against Jerusalem, and he looks to those and says, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. And so all of this goes back to this destruction of Jerusalem that Jeremiah the prophet himself was preaching, and just the anguish of the soul he had in this whole thing. And so you have this questioning of Jeremiah, why was I ever born? Why didn't I just die in the womb? But the contrast with Jesus is Jesus knows exactly why he was born. So Jesus doesn't ever question, why was I born? He was born to be our Savior. He was conceived in the womb by the Holy Spirit, and his name is Jesus because he's the one who will save his people from their sins. And so Jesus knows this, but yet you even have this anguish with Jesus, who is truly human, who speaks out against Jerusalem. They will not listen. You have this in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus petitions the Father and says, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. But the contrast with Jesus is he goes on to say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So Jeremiah comes very close to the edge of almost just blaspheming God. Well, Jesus never comes that close as Jeremiah, for Jesus knows exactly what's going on, but yet he's troubled, just like Jeremiah, because he's truly human, and he's suffering in his passion. I mean, you see this in John's gospel. Well, Jesus will say in chapter 12, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But this was the purpose I have come, was for this hour. And then he says, Father, glorify your name. And then he knows that the whole reason he came was to die. And in his death, this was the judgment of the world, and the ruler of this world will be cast out. And through his own crucifixion, he will draw people to himself. And so Jesus knows that he is born for this purpose. You even have Jesus before Pontius Pilate. When Pontius Pilate's trying to give Jesus as the king back to Israel, and they say, we don't want him, crucify him, he's not our king. And so Pilate looks at Jesus and said, so you are a king? Are you a king? What's going on here? And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. And so this all goes back to Jeremiah 23 again, this promise that this righteous branch will be raised up. This son of David will come to bring in his kingdom.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's our Christ in the Old Testament series with him on this Friday, June the 20th. Jeremiah chapter 20 is the subject of our conversation. When we come back, we'll move along through the verses of Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah almost sounds like he can't help what he's saying. He says, whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. And he doesn't sound like he's very happy with his own message. We'll be right back.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
That's the difference between preaching about Christ, where you basically just cut them apart and use them however you see fit, versus preaching Christ.
I mean, you take that most basic structural social unit and bust it apart. It's like breaking the atom all this destructive energy comes out from breaking apart something that was really belonged together.
When I got to the part about believing Jesus' words, that it is his body and blood, and this is a man that came from a Lutheran congregation, he said, well, I have problems with that.
Everybody must say positive things and think positive thoughts to be blessed by God. It creates a terrible tyranny where you're stuck in a prison with a big smiley face on it.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week live this Friday afternoon, the 20th of June. It's a simple game where we play four soundbites. You heard just a taste of them there. We're going to play those four soundbites. You listen, then you give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, your tweets at IssuesETC, or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We will give away an LPR bundle package, the I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad to the listener who has the best vote when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 20 minutes here on the program. In the meantime, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're doing our series with him as we do weekly Christ in the Old Testament. Today, Jeremiah chapter 20. It almost sounds as though Jeremiah is not pleased with his own message. His heart really isn't in it. He says, "For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction." A little bit later, he will say, "The word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long." More of his complaints before he, as you said before, transitions to faith and to hope. What is his complaint about his complaint, his message?
Yeah, well, he's complaining about what he's been sent to do. He's sent to break down and to pull down and to bring destruction because he is sent to proclaim this law. The law because God's people have forsaken God. And the reason why they've forsaken Yahweh is because the priests have led the people astray. Even the kings have led the people astray. So he's there to proclaim their sin so that he can proclaim their Savior. And the remnant, those who listen to and can actually believe in this promise, will be saved. It's kind of like the advice of Luther that when you preach, you should preach so that people either hate their sin or they end up hating the preacher because of this message. And the message that Jeremiah gives is this message of violence and destruction. You know, he goes to Pashur, who just beat him and released him from the stocks, and he doesn't say, "Well, that's okay, brother, I forgive you, and everything is okay." Instead, he says, "Now your name has changed, and your name is no longer Pashur, but terror on every side." Why? Because there will be terror to you, yourself, to all your friends, all people around you, because they shall fall by the sword. And then he goes on to say that Babylon will carry them away into captivity, because Yahweh will hand over Jerusalem to Babylon, and Babylon will strike them down with the sword. And so you see this reoccurring theme with Jeremiah that he comes to bring this sword and not to bring peace. And so this is the word that they're hearing from Jeremiah, but contradistinction, the word that they're hearing from the false prophets is, don't worry, be happy. They say there's peace, and they say there will not be a sword. So this is what Jeremiah is confronted with. He's confronted with the false prophets who are saying the exact opposite, who are giving a lovey-dovey feel-good message that, oh, God loves you and everything is just fine because we're once God's people and we'll always be God's people. And there's no problem. Don't worry. There will be no sword and there will only be peace. And so Jeremiah comes with a different word, a word of violence and destruction, a word of the sword. In fact, we see this with Jesus when Jesus says, like in Matthew chapter 10, he says, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And Jesus, when he proclaims the destruction of Jerusalem because they've rejected their king, that they refuse to listen to the word incarnate, he says, "But you, Jerusalem, you will be surrounded by armies, and then you will know your desolation is near, and that these are going to be the days of vengeance." And you'll even see this language with Jeremiah, where he calls out for vengeance, that Yahweh would bring judgment. And Jesus says there will be days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. And he goes on in Luke chapter 21 and says, "For there will be great distresses upon earth, and wrath against this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword, and they will be led away among all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. So this is the message that Jeremiah is proclaiming, and this is kind of tiresome. He's very weary with this, and he notes to Yahweh, he says, I've become a reproach, because now the people are mocking me. This word that you've given to me to speak is a reproach. People don't like me. You know, a preacher wants to be liked, and a preacher wants to have those who listen encourage him and pat him on the shoulder and say, well done. But this is the message that Jeremiah has been given, a message of a sword. And so Jeremiah's complaint to Yahweh is, I'm bearing this reproach. It's all for your sake. My persecutors want to destroy me. And they're the ones that can continue to refuse to listen. And so this whole language of a reproach becomes very key in Jeremiah, because it's a theme that we will see, as Yahweh says, that in fact, Jeremiah, you're not the reproach. These people, the king, the leaders, the priest, they will become a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. And so when Jeremiah is bearing this burden is these false teachers. And Jesus himself is going to be the one who will bear this burden. So this all goes back to Psalm 69 about these reproaches. And so St. Paul will even quote this in Romans 15, where he's encouraging us to be like Christ as we have been renewed and born again in the waters of holy baptism. He says, now in the station and place where God has put you, you are to please your neighbor for his good, be of benefit to build him up. And he says, why? Because Christ did not please himself, but it was written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And so the Apostle Paul takes us back to Psalm 69, in which in Psalm 69 it talks about the Christ and says, more in number are the hairs of my head than those who hate me without cause. And this reproach, this hating, and they speak against him just like they're speaking against Jeremiah. John the apostle will also cue into Psalm 69 and John 15:25, where you have this, but the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled, which Jesus spoke, that they hated me without a cause. And it's in this place where you have that's the reproaches against Yahweh are now falling upon Jesus. So everything that they spoke against this word, the word incarnate now takes this, and he takes the destruction, he takes the punishment, he takes all of this. And all of this goes back to, it is for your sake that I have borne the reproach, that dishonor has covered my face, and I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons, as it says in Psalm 69, which are the words upon the mouth of Jesus.
So all of this is not just prefiguring, but as you said, I think, earlier in our conversation, it is driving toward its fulfillment in Christ. That Christ is here in the prophet Jeremiah, even at this point. He is the one that says, look, I'm the one who's bearing the reproach here, not you, my prophet.
Exactly. So that the prophet is this mouthpiece of Yahweh, and he's the mouthpiece that speaks the word of Yahweh. And of course, the second person of the Holy Trinity is that word of Yahweh that's actually being rejected. It's that word of Yahweh that's being spoken against. And so it is Christ who's there with Jeremiah in the midst, and he promises. He says, I will be with you. And that's where his strength is. And that's why Jeremiah, even though he complains and he cries out and says, you've deceived me, yet he can still cling to this promise and say that, yet, Lord, you are with me as a dread warrior. Kind of this image that he's there fighting alongside of Jeremiah, lifting him up in the midst of this spiritual battle that's going on.
Talk briefly about this terror on every side. You mentioned that briefly before, but talk about that, especially in light of the 10th verse of Jeremiah chapter 20. I hear many whispering. This is just Jeremiah is practically channeling the trial and the crucifixion, the persecution of Jesus himself. Talk about that with about a minute or so before we wrap up.
Well, again, in this passage, this is the name that Pashur is supposed to have, this priest is supposed to have, who's rejecting Yahweh. He is the one who is terror on every side. But yet the people want to bring terror on every side of Jeremiah. So this is what he sees all around, that these people are waiting and watching for him to fall. And so you see this in Jesus. That Jesus comes to proclaim and to preach and to tell the people that he is life. And if they would come to him, he wants them to draw to him and to have life, but yet they will not come. And so that's why Jesus will say, yeah, I know that you're the offspring of Abraham, but yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. And so throughout the ministry of Jesus, you constantly have the scribes and the Pharisees who are always watching for him to fall. I mean, you see this in Luke chapter 11. As he went away from there, it notes the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something that he might say. Or later on in Luke chapter 20, it says, so they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere that they might catch him in something he said, so to deliver him up to the authorities. And so Jeremiah is experiencing this, and all this will point to the experience that Jesus will have for our benefit. And through this rejection, Jesus is crucified and atonement is made.
With only about 30 seconds, is it a good rule of thumb, having walked through this kind of quintessential case of the prophet's persecution, that when we see reproach, when we see persecution, when be it the psalmist, a prophet, whoever it may be, that we immediately, as one of our regular guests here, Dr. John Seleska, often advises us to do, to thank Christ when we see that happening to the Old Testament prophets and people?
I think that that is an excellent way to say it and an excellent way to view it, because throughout the Scripture, we know that there are two camps. There are those who hear the word of the Lord and those are who refuse to hear the word of the Lord. And so that word of the Lord, of course, was on the mouth of the prophets, but in Christ, in the incarnation, that word of the Lord assumed the human nature and he took upon flesh and blood in order to be rejected and to be refused so that he could die, and in that death he could give to us life.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And next week on Christ in the Old Testament, we'll stay in the book of Jeremiah talking about the false prophet Hananiah with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last few minutes of Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, June the 20th, playing our little weekly game with you, our listeners. So you need to get ready to call, email, visit our Facebook fan page, or send us a tweet, because very soon, within about 5 minutes here, we're going to ask you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. First, we'll play the four soundbites for you, and then you need to pick up the phone, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote at our Facebook fan page for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. When we come back, we're going to play our four soundbites, and your votes will decide which of them will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues, Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues, Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.